This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:13 in the evening with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin. We're talking today about fear because it is, I was going to say it's a frightful day, but the truth is, like I said, most of the time you see people walking around as teddy bears or something. It's not really a big thing anymore. But we still thought it was as good a time as any to talk about fear and just how that functions in our brains, in our lives. Taking us through that is Associate Professor Dr. Anasuya Jegathevi Jegathesan, Program Director of Psychology at Taylor's University. Dr. Anasuya, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. No problem. Thank you for inviting me.
I just wanted to ask you, first of all, would you say that you frighten easily, and what frightens you?
I frighten easily on specific things. I have a very, very weird, strange fear, which is if you see somebody standing at the escalator on the way down and you're like, they're standing there for a few seconds before they put their foot on the escalator, That's me. I've fallen off an escalator when I was a kid.
Right. Oh.
And I have a fear of the escalators going down. So when I step on the escalator, it must be perfect to my foot. If not, I'm very scared of it. And if I'm tired, the fear is higher.
Yeah, I think I can definitely relate to that.
So just based off that experience, I guess, and hopefully this might inform our next question, you know, what actually is fear and why do we then experience it?
Okay, fear is a feeling of fight or flight, and it's a reaction that we get because we are uncertain. Now, because the range of fears that you talked about earlier, and you rattled off a whole lot of fear, it's, you know, as a human being, we have a need to survive. If we die, it's game over. So a lot of our fears have come with survival, the idea that you're scared because of survival. So why would somebody be afraid of, cockroaches? Well, cockroaches usually in those days would indicate a lot of dirt, a lot of germs, a lot of, a lot of stuff that would be bad for us to have in your home, in your area. So, you know, the fear comes from that, not just a simple creepy crawly. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't English today. I'm sorry about that. And it's the same thing because a lot of the smaller insects are poisonous. So we are afraid of these type of things because they could hurt us. And in our head, we are thinking, all right, you know, it's biological. It's a bit of a reaction to protect yourself from things that, you know, could kill you or could damage you. So that's one kind of fear. And then another kind of fear, which just now, somebody mentioned they're afraid of roller coasters. Is that right?
Yep, that's me.
Okay, can I ask you, are you actually afraid of heights and speed, or are you just afraid of roller coasters?
I'm not afraid of heights, actually. I'm just, this roller coasters, the idea of getting in one and like going at full speed at that high. It's just the roller coaster, not the heights or fears or speed separately.
And is it more that when I'm on the roller coaster, I'll freak out, I'm not sure how I'll behave?
It's more like I'm afraid I'll fall from the roller coaster.
All right, okay.
A rational fear.
Yeah, you know, different. Because some people are afraid of roller coasters because they're actually afraid they'll freak out on it. So then the fear, and it seems like why public speaking is one of our greatest fears. This is a kind of fear where we are not afraid for our lives. We are afraid for our pride, our sense of self. That, you know, when I'm out there, I make a mistake, I say something wrong, and people will laugh at me, and people will look down on me, or people will think less of me. Now, that is a different category of fear, but it's a real fear. And one of the biggest fears that we have is public speaking.
Yeah, that's a very common one.
Yeah, and that's right. But that's nothing. You know, you're not risking your life. Mm. But what you're doing is you're risking your pride, your sense of self. So in any kind of case where your sense of self is being threatened, that's when you have a sense of fear. And of course, you have the learned fears. Learned fears are from things which maybe your parents were very afraid of and they taught you to be afraid of it. Or you had, like me with the escalator, you had a bad experience when you were a kid, and so you want to try to avoid doing it. So they have those kinds of fears as well. But the range of fears is quite wide.
You know, on that note, I did want to ask you, because you mentioned that the sense of fear has probably adapted out of a fight or flight survival thing, you know, back when we would need it against wild animals, all sorts of other threats. So now when our sense of self is threatened, when it's a different sort of existential fear, right, that's triggered, is the feeling of or the depth or I suppose immediacy of the feeling the same as fight or flight?
Well, it would honestly depend on the individual and how that individual processes it. But one of the biggest mistakes we can make about feelings is trying to compare my feeling versus your feeling. If you have a sense of fear and your sense of fear, you know, for a cockroach is real, and you get people who laugh at you and say, oh my God, how can you be scared of a cockroach? But you have a real sense of fear. And, you know, people may look down on it because it doesn't seem real compared to somebody, you know, who's afraid of something which is much more deadly. So when we're looking at emotions and we're looking at how people feel, we need to look at each individual and acknowledge that each individual has a different range or ability to process the fear and to manage their fear. And sometimes some people have more resources and some people don't. And the more resources you have, the more you're able to manage your fear. Big example, you had just now the firemen on there. Mm-hmm. Now, fear of fire is a big fear. But firemen run towards the fire. You know, but how do you run towards the fire? We have a primal fear of fire. You have training. Firemen are trained. They go into rigorous training. They have all these resources. They know when to leave. They know how to read a fire when it's getting too dangerous. They know they've got a team behind them. And all these help manage the fear. So they're not running into a fire blind. It's not an instinctive running into the fire because I want to save my child. It's a very well, you know, I'm looking fear in the face and I'm going towards it and I'm prepared for my fear. Now that's a different, that's the higher level of using your mind to overcome sense of fear.
Why are some people more easily spooked or frightened compared to others?
Well, some people are more nerve, have, you know, when you look at the brain has a different capacity of response to different things. Some people are more reactive, some people are not reactive. Some people, when they have loud noises, oh yeah, it's not that loud. Other people, too loud, oh my God, it's so loud, switch it off. Our resting states and all are pretty much the same in our brain, but our reactiveness to certain things are higher. So some people, they're just more reactive than others. You know, like same way, some people are more ticklish than other people. People are more reactive. And like I said, some people have learned fears. And also the biggest one, some people enjoy being scared.
Yeah.
And they enjoy the drama of it. So, and then there's a whole category of people, they love screaming. They love, you know, they love being scared. They like going to these places and they like freaking out and they go 5,000 times and they still freak out. And you're like, okay, that's cool. You know, you were talking about games. Try VR. You want to talk about games on VR? You know, try playing some of the horror games on VR. I would never, okay? But people, but and that's a real kind of, you know, thrill that people have nowadays, which you couldn't have had 5-10 years ago.
And how then do our parents and caregivers play a role in what we're afraid of? You know, for example, if I'm scared of cockroaches and ghosts, is my child more likely to be the same?
Well, if you jump around and you over-exaggerate, then they'll pick it up. But you've got parents who make their children the protector. So the mom is scared and then they push the children forward to go and handle the cockroach. Then they learn how to handle the cockroach. If mommy is scared and then says, oh no, you also mustn't touch, you mustn't touch. Then the child picks up the fear.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was also thinking about this, whether there is at all a moralizing quality in the way that parents might be using fear to teach children life lessons. And I'm thinking of the ghost stories that we're told as children, right? Like, is that part of the function of fear or part of how we utilize fear?
Yeah, partly we utilize fear to make sure kids don't do what we don't want them to do, which is go to dangerous places and put themselves in danger.
Mm.
So fear has always been a tool of control. Fear of mass, you know, governments use it. Teachers use it, parents use it. There's no group that doesn't use fear to control other people. You know, from being scared of foreign workers to being scared of, oh, you know, the land prices are going to go up. All these are people use fear in various ways to control. It's as much a tool of control as pain is. So spanking, fear, those are tools of control, mm-hmm. not the healthiest tools on the planet.
So then is the value of fear something that we can harness then to use in our daily lives, probably to reach some kind of more positive outcome, for example?
Yeah. I mean, like same like how firemen do it and same like everybody else, it's get the tools to overcome your fear. Now, I'm not going to stop myself from going down the escalator. I will do it, you know. And so for me, it's just a matter, it's a small thing, I'm afraid of it, but I do it every time. And it makes me feel nice when I manage to do it without feeling afraid. So then I get a sense of satisfaction. But the other people who have got more intense fears, like, you know, when we first start driving, the fear of driving, when we first do, I mean, it's overcoming those fears. It's facing the fear and then, you know, finding ways to manage the fear so that we can use it to move forward in our lives. The biggest fear that we have is the fear of failure. And if you look at people and they look at, you know, failure is not something that I would laud. I don't think that we should rejoice in failure, but neither do I think we should be afraid of it. I think we need to face failure and just accept it. Okay, failure is part of it, but it's not something I wanted. But if I'm going to let myself not move because I failed, if I'm going to let myself not move because, you know, I'm scared, then the fear wins.
You know, I was, while you were speaking, I was wondering, what's the difference then between fear and anxiety? Because I think some of the ways in which they manifest might be similar, right?
Yes, it's similar, but it's different because fear is a specific thing at a specific time. It's a spike. Anxiety is a generalized feeling of, okay, of something bad's going to happen. So if I'm going to use the, since it's Halloween, I'll use the horror genre. Okay, you're walking alone and, you know, a group of kids in the park and they're walking in the park alone. And, you know, they're all like, oh, you know, and, you know, they're shivering and they're walking, they're looking around. That's anxiety. That's not yet fear. So that's, you know, and it could be an anticipatory thing, a bit more anticipatory, a bit more, I'm not sure what I'm afraid of. But then when you've got, you know, the Nightmare on Elm Street people coming and you've got Freddy, you know, chasing you, that's fear. Once that fear manifests, then it becomes fear. But anxiety, generalized anxiety, is like, there's something wrong. I don't know what is wrong, and it's just wrong. I'm not scared. There's nothing that's scaring me. There's nobody that's doing anything. But I just feel that, oh, something is going to happen. You know, and that's a fear that's really used well in Japanese horror stories.
And speaking of horror films, you know, the world keeps churning them out. What is it about fear that has some of us actively seeking it out?
Well, because then you can go and say, look, I did better than everybody else. Have you seen the reactions to the Joker from certain groups of people online?
Hmm.
Oh my God, everybody's scared and I'm there laughing. And you're like, okay, well, good for you. It's like, you know, it's a kind of a show-off kind of thing. I'm not scared of it. Why are you scared? Trying to put down people. It's a high. People like to be scared because it's a high. It's like any emotional jump. As long as you're physically safe, the emotional jump is an emotional jump. And we like emotional jumps.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough and as good a spot to end as any. Dr. Anasuya, thank you so much for speaking with us.
No problem. It was quite fun. Happy Halloween and don't get too scared.
That was Associate Professor Dr. Anasuya Jegathevijayagathesan, Program Director of Psychology at Taylor's University, talking to us about the value of fear. And I think that conversation there spanned quite a few different types, right? We talked about the, you know, the creepy crawlies, the rats and cockroaches, but we also spoke about the, a long-haired woman crawling through your TV kind of fear. So we want to hear from you. What frightens you? You know, have you sort of thought about the role of fear in your life? Do you have a creepy story you want to share? Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, we have this from Alice, who says, Black Mirror episodes are more disturbing and scary than ghosts.
Yeah, I can imagine why. You know, I think sometimes with certain genres of film, especially if they happen to be more Asian, especially if they happen to be in context that I can relate to, it's much scarier to me, right? Because I can see that happening or potentially happening. If it's in a building that looks similar to one that I frequent, no, I'm not going to watch that film.
It's a different kind of disturbing, right?
Yeah.
It's not exactly the classic jump scare kind of moments,
no,
I think.
No, it's not. It's a relatability of it.
Mm. We also have Munif Malik saying, I love this message. During my uni study days, me and my batchmates were just a collection of people with bizarre phobias. There were two guys afraid of cats. One guy is deadly frightened of rubber. Another is terrified of bubbles. He bathes and soaps with his eyes closed. He gulps his teh tarik the same way. I myself am a globophobic, which means I'm horrified of balloons. I don't know what the moral of the story is, but there you go.
Well, that means people are unique in their own way, I guess.
Did you watch It? Because if you don't have coulrophobia, but then you have globophobia, I'm curious whether you're like, ah, clown, no problem. Ah, balloons. You know, I just like to know.
Or like birthday parties.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. We're talking today about fear. So if you have a scary story you want to share, if you want to talk about whether you frighten easily, call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 0818 78 9 8 9 9. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.